Lord, we thank you for your many blessings, guide, lead, and direct in all things. Lord, we pray for your will to be done. Pray for us to see the truth, know the truth, live the truth, and be honest about all things to thee. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. I'll go ahead and get mic'd up and switch mics over. Turn to Psalm 33. I have taught through the first 32 Psalms. It's been eye-opening to me. Because I'm not a Psalms person. In other words, I don't get under stress and read the Psalms to calm me down. I just, you know, put Alexander Scorby on if I had to, and he just reads the whole Bible to me. So, you know, whatever. But I will tell you, since going through these Psalms and looking at Psalm 33, boy, what a blessing these Psalms are. And I can see why David wrote them, and the situations, if you read some of the footnotes, things like that, some of the comments in there to the chief musician, things like that. We don't have anything here in Psalm 33 like that, but it's going to deal with the creation. And it is amazing how the Bible deals with creation. I was studying the galaxy this morning and the galaxies, and I was just amazed. If you, the speed of light is 670 million miles per hour. Usually hear it in seconds, but 670 million miles an hour. And when they measure things, our galaxy, you know, is expansive beyond belief, and there are billions of galaxies, billions of planets, and all this just happened. I mean, it takes a lot of faith to believe that. And I understand why they have to believe that. They have to believe that because they have to eliminate God. The only way to eliminate God is to eliminate creation. And so as we're looking through Psalm 33, we're going to see some things, and we're going to do some cross-references on creation. And just imagine being an evolutionist, somebody that, you know, believes that all of this just happened. There was a good example of that made by an astronomer. He was a believer, and he built this whole model of the galaxy. And, he brought it into the office and set it down early in the morning, and everybody came in and they saw this model of the galaxy. They didn't know who did it. And they said, well, who built this model? It's perfect. It's great. It depicts our galaxy like nothing else we've ever seen. Who did this? And he said, I don't know. It just happened by chance. Oh, no, somebody built that. And then he made the point. Well, if you believe that somebody had to build this model of the galaxy, how can you believe there's not a creator that built the galaxy and created the galaxy himself? So that's about, you know, how things go. And then I wrote something else down. The probability of life originating from accident is compared to the unabridged dictionary resulting from an explosion at a print shop. Edwin Konkin said that. So just, you know, you have an explosion at the print shop, and all of a sudden you got the whole unabridged dictionary written. That makes more sense than all this happened by chance. When you study the body and you look at the intricacies of our body, and the reason they have to do the evolution thing is because they look at an ape and they go, well, he has the same type of circulatory system, digestive system, some of them do, and these different things. They can look at it and they go, wow, we must have all came from the same source. And they're right. The problem is they think we all evolved, and it's a creator. He did it all. That's the way it is. So let's look at verse 1, Psalm 33, verse 1. We'll probably only get through part of the psalm this morning. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud voice. Now, I didn't go over it, but your outline of the psalm is verses 1 through 3 are instructions on singing. Verses 4 through 9 are the power of God's Word to create. 10 through 17, the power of God's Word contrasted with the power of men. And then 18 through 22, the joy of knowing God is fighting on our behalf. So again, verses 1 through 3 are the instructions on singing. That's what I just read to you. And if you look at it, it ought to really hair-lip some so-called churches around here that say, well, the Bible says, make melody from your heart. Ephesians 5:19, therefore they don't have a piano. They don't have an organ. That you make melody from your heart. Imagine a whole denomination created from one verse. You see, you have to be different to be unique in order to draw people to you because you're the only ones that have the truth. They say, well, we're the only ones named in the Bible. You know, we're the Church of Christ. We know the Bible never says Church of Christ. It says Churches of Christ. So it never named. And listen, Church of God's in there. Does that make them the, you know, are they named in the Bible and we're not? Listen, what you have to understand is that there are denominations that exist and they use one passage of Scripture to come up with a whole doctrine to make themselves unique in order to manipulate people that you have to come to their church to be right with God. And one of them is Ephesians 5:19, making melody in your heart. Boy, this must be really rough, this teaching this morning, because when you read Psalm 33, it says, praise the Lord with harp, stringed instrument. Sing unto Him with psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. By the way, that's a stringed instrument over here. The piano is. I mean, I know because, you know, we had to wrap it up so it didn't get any dust in it. And you open it up, you look in there, it's a stringed instrument. So when you look at this thing, look at Psalm 92. Psalm 92. And this is why not all music is acceptable. I used to be extremely strict, meaning I never listened to anything outside of, you know, basically psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. But again, spiritual songs, how is that defined? There's a lot of latitude there that, you know, I'm not an expert. We have people on that pew that know more about music than I do, no doubt about it. But I know a little bit of Bible. So all I do is try to stick to the Bible. I stay out of trouble. Well, I don't stay out of trouble. I just get in less trouble. Psalm 92, look at verse 3. Look what the Bible says. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound. Now, we're not going to be high church around here and say, well, that means high church. You know, I can't even do that. I was going to do it, then I realized it really wouldn't sound like I mean it to sound. But, you know, a solemn sound. You know, victory in Jesus. You know what that was? That was a solemn sound. It's all about glorifying Him. It's not 15 verses of Jesus, 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 or love me, Lord, love me, Lord, love me, Lord, love me, Lord, love me, Lord. Love. There are songs that's what they, and the kids are like, woo, yeah, woo, yeah, this is great. No, it's not. It's not a solemn sound. A solemn sound is what we heard this morning. The solemn sound is what we'll hear later on. The solemn sound is what we when you put in your music, that's what you ought to listen to. And again, I used to be, you know, I don't even know what contemporary music is anymore. I mean, I know what I didn't like, and I don't listen to it. I don't even know if it exists anymore. I mean, I'm so old that, you know, what... It's not even contemporary anymore because it was 20 years ago. But it's still contemporary and I don't like it. It stinks. So let's move on. Look at Psalm 150. And if you look at Psalm 150, it talks about praise in every verse, all 6 verses. Verse 1, praise ye. Verse 2, praise Him. Verse 3, praise Him. Verse 4, praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. So now at least you got an organ in there. But, you know, and again, we went over dance. You know, the Bible never says anything against dance. David danced, but he wasn't gyrating with the opposite sex. Okay? He was dancing, glorifying God, So we're not going to have a dance group up here. You know, we're not going to do it. Why? It's hard to do things and figure out the parameters of what... Well, we're just not going to do it because I don't like it. You don't like it. We're not going to do it. But I'm telling you, there's nothing in the Bible against dance. So, and I told you, men, take your wife home, slow dance with her today. I told you that a couple weeks ago. Listen, there's nothing wrong with, you know, a husband and wife in the privacy of their own home, you know, hugging each other and turning on Victory in Jesus and dancing to it. I just realized I needed to dig myself out of this hole. It was getting deeper and I was not seeing the bottom of the pit. So verses 1 through 3, they give the instructions for singing. Then look at verse 4. Remember, 4 through 9 are the power of God's Word to create. Now, let me give that to you. And God said, let there be light. Oh, the sun popped up. No, the sun wasn't created yet. He just said, let there be light. He is light, and there was light. Where did it come from? God's Word. When you read Genesis and it says, and God said, and God said, and God said, that's what created everything. And that's what this psalm says. Look at verse 4. A great, great verse. For the Word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. What a tremendous... The Word of the Lord is right. Okay, so the world says this, and the Word of the Lord says this. Which one's right? The Word of the Lord's always right. Amen. God's Word is perfect. Amen. God's Word is right. Amen. Yeah. And it says, the Word of the Lord is right. All His works are done in truth. Verse 5, He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Well, there you go. Is the world wicked? Sure, the world lieth in wickedness. Is it full of the goodness of the Lord? Yes. I know when I came in this morning, you know what I sensed? The goodness of the Lord. I don't mean the building. The building's been renovated. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the goodness of the Lord, which you bring in when you come in. I hopefully brought it in when I came in. The goodness of the Lord. Listen, the world's full of the goodness of the Lord. You know what you've got to do? You have to be the one that's the ambassador to give it out. You have to be the one that says, you know what, the world looks around and they see what's going on and they're so disturbed by it, and we ought to be. But it doesn't mean that the earth can't be full of it. Now notice it says the earth and not the world. There's a difference. You know, love not the world. You go and you study the world in John 17 and other places. Listen, the world is, is a bad place. But we're, you know, when you talk about the earth, there is a difference there. And I won't spend time getting in that because I got to get to the creation. Verse 6. Look at what it says. This contradicts all of evolution. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. I thought it was evolution. No, the word of the Lord's right. So the context in verse 4 is the word of the Lord's right. The subject in verse 6 is, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. That's it. There is no argument about it. That's who made the heavens. When they look out there and they have sent sound waves, I don't remember how, 200 million miles away or something like that, and then they have this picture of universes, and they put this dot on there and they go, that's how far our sound waves have gone out. Not very far. Hey, let me tell you something. You ought to be in awe of the creation of God. Amen. That's why He does it. He does it as a witness to Himself. When that guy says evolution and God says creation, and the Word of the Lord is true and right, and He created it, listen, He has, when the sun comes up, it's a witness of God. Sun goes down, the moon comes, you know, the moon shows. Listen, all of that is a witness of God. Amen. He said, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He spoke it into existence. When you study Genesis, listen, the most hated books, like I told you, one of the most hated books is Genesis. Why? Because in the beginning, it just says, in the beginning God. He doesn't go to seek to prove God exists. It's just in the beginning God. And most people can't get past the first four verses, the first four words of the first verse, without choking on the Word of God. In the beginning, God. God never had a beginning, never had an end, but in the beginning, God already was. And you see that in other places when you cross-reference. Look at Job 27. Job 27. Verse 1, moreover, Job continued his parable and said, as God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment, and the Almighty who hath vexed my soul, all the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. So you see, God's the one who enables people to live. You'll see that. Look at Job 33 for a cross-reference. Job 33. And look at verse 4. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. So again, you cross-reference that with Psalm 33, and you have a problem if you're an evolutionist. The word of the Lord is right. And they say, no, it's wrong. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Listen, you know how you have life. It's not when the doctor, you know, pops your bottom, you know, baby. I got to make sure I'm clear on that. We're not talking about, you know, some of you having surgeries. It's not when the doc pops your bottom. When you're born, you know, how they pop and they go, oh, that's when the soul comes in. No, it is not. Listen, God is, the Spirit of God hath made me. He created all things by the word of His power. The Spirit of God did that. The breath of the Almighty hath given me life. When Adam was created, God breathed into him the breath of life. That's what it's talking about. This applies to all of us, though. Look at Psalm 104. Psalm 104, and this is something you ought to take to heart. You know, some people, boy, they fear death and fear this. Listen, I fear being maimed. I do that. I don't want to be in a car wreck and, you know, be maimed the rest of my life. I really don't. But I'd rather just go on to glory if that happens. Psalm 104, look at verse 29. Thou hidest thy face. They are troubled, and thou takest away their breath. They die and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. So look at verse 29 again. Thou takest away their breath, they die. Your life is in God's hands. Now, should you live a little cautiously? You know, oh, I'm all in God's hands, and I go up here on the highway, and I decide to walk without, you know, cross without looking both ways. I told you about the guy that did that when we were driving back through Knoxville and had those two tractor trailers jackknifed. He probably wasn't looking, or drunk, or whatever, but or had a death wish. You know, suicide by truck. That's what goes on with a lot of these shootings. You know, they're just trying to commit suicide, and they figure, the only way to do that, they can shoot themselves once they've shot other innocent people. That's a lot of it. And then they want the police to shoot them because they can't take the gun and do it themselves. And yet, they're going to make some of these people heroes. You heard about the and I'm trying to figure out how to describe it. The man that's a woman, the woman that's a man. You know, they call them trans, but you can't trans. You can't do that. I don't care what you do. You're born a woman, you're a woman. You're born a man, you're a man. Doesn't matter. You know, doesn't matter what science says. Listen, you remember follow the science, right? Wear a mask. Wear two masks. Get a shot. You know? Stay 6 feet away. Stay inside. Oh, that was a smart one. Let's shut down all the parks. Now, they shut down the beaches. There were some good things to that. They had more, less, of all the problems they had, they're going to have less skin cancer that's attributed to that year. You know, but I mean, insane. Follow the science. Are you kidding? When you look at science, it's all a joke. You know, I heard, Fauci, they had people that were against what he was doing. You know what he did? He funded them, and they got on board. Follow the science. Now, let me tell you something. Science, falsely so-called, is what the Bible describes it. What's the Bible say about the Word of God? It's right. It's right. So let's run a couple of verses in Hebrews. Let's start with Hebrews 1. We'll go to Hebrews 3. Hebrews 1, looking at this creation. Hebrews 1:3. What the Bible says. Who, and again, talking of Christ, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power. When He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. So what does the Bible say? He upholds all things by the word of His power. Colossians says, by Him all things consist. So you want to talk about follow the science. Well, the scientist says we don't know how the atom stays together. The Word of God is right. The Bible says by Him all things consist, and He upholds all things by the Word of His power. I know, and I'm not that smart, not like some PhD with a scientific degree that can go out and chop an atom in half and create a bomb and kill everybody. I'm not that smart. I don't know how to do any of that. I mean, I know how to kill people, but just kidding. You guys aren't laughing. I need you to laugh, because if you don't, people are watching this. They may say, "Well, he just threatened the whole world." They'll be arresting me to this afternoon. So that was a joke. Okay. Look at Hebrews. We looked at Hebrews 1. Look at Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3, verse 4. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And by the way, I could spend the next several weeks teaching on creationism. I'm just giving you some highlights that I really like. But look at that. I mean, you know, the science says this. You know what I say? The word of the Lord is right. And it's true, but it's right. Look at the verse. We won't go back there. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. And look at verse 3. Hebrews 11, verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. And God said, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So you got a problem. Grand Canyon, right? Things that are seen are not made by things which do appear. They say, well, it must have been millions and billions of years of water that just, you know, was all flat and it started washing it away. And, you know, it was this deep and then this deep and then this deep. And then the Grand Canyon showed up after millions and billions of years. Well, the Word of the Lord is right. What does it say? Noah built an ark. It rained 40 days and 40 nights to where the highest mountain was covered. Do you know, and if you lived here in Florida for any period of time, you know what it's like to get a rain. And the water, you know, you just got these streams going down the road, beside the road. Imagine 40 days, 40 nights raining. I mean, I don't mean a little trickling. I mean God rain. And He rains like that. And then, you know, He says, all right, now we got to let the sun come out and let it, you know, come down. And then it gets down to the point where the water starts flowing and flowing. And that's how you get the Grand Canyon. But the Bible tells you that you can't judge things based on your human intellect. That's what Hebrews 11 is all about. All right, let's go back to, and again, I could spend all month on the creation. But go on back to Psalm 33. And again, another verse that ought to really get hold of your heart is verse 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. All the world should stand in awe of God. And what do we have instead? Well, they use the name of the Lord in vain all the time. Everybody, you know, all of Hollywood's got to, you know, just blaspheme God instead of standing in awe of Him. Look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119 talks about the Word of God in every verse. And so that's where we are. In Psalm 119, look at verse 161. Look at what the Bible says in Psalm 119, 161. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. My heart stands in awe of thy word. The Bible says that, you know, you should elevate God's name, but he says in, I think it's Psalm 118, he says, I have magnified my word above even my name, because if the word of God is no good, the name of God means nothing. God will keep His word every day in every way. So we should stand in awe of Him. We should stand in awe of His word. And then let me just give you verse 9 of Psalm 33. For He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. He spake and it was done. So some of you young people go to college. Okay? You go to college. And like me, I went to college and I took a true biology class. I was a business, but my brother who was there at Penn State before me said, hey, you need to go to this guy's class because it's a great class, great teacher. He gets up there and he teaches, but when he gets to evolution, he lost the whole class. He didn't believe in it. So he got up there and he would teach like this with, you know, with power and authority, and people would be listening to him, and then he started teaching evolution. He just was, you know, and the whole class started talking at one time. Is that not amazing? Why? Because he has to teach it because it's a required part of the curriculum, and in order to have tenure, you have to do it or else they'll fire you. And by the way, the only people that'll be left are those that believe it. Or the compromisers on a grand scale. So, you know, what they're going to teach you is evolution. If you say, well, I'm going to go to a Christian college. You know, just be careful. Not everybody in a Christian college that teaches toes the line. You know, some of them deceptively get in there. But what you've got to understand is what we looked at this morning proves evolution is false. Proves God created. Proves that His Word is powerful. The Bible says powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder soul, spirit, joints and marrows. It discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. Listen, the Word of God is the most powerful thing on earth and in the universe. And God said, He created everything. You say, well, I just see all these things they put out there. Science, falsely so-called. You want to follow the science? Trust the Bible. The circle of the earth before they always thought it was flat. You know? Come on. I mean, the Bible's been true and been proven true. And whether it's proven true or not proven true, you got to believe it by faith. Then when God gives you the evidence, you can move from faith to the evidence and everything's fine. The point is, it's true. It's powerful. Let's all stand together. Lord, you thank you for many blessings, guide, lead, and direct in all things. We pray for your will to be done. We pray for you to be glorified in all that's said and done for the rest of today, tomorrow, the rest of our lives, really, Lord. Just pray for your guidance in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you are dismissed.